welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Today, we're joined by Seravante Chowdhury. She is the publicity co-chair for IEDM, which is the International Electron Devices Meeting held in San Francisco in December. Welcome, Seravante, to our podcast.
Hi, thank you so much, Daniel. It's my pleasure to be with you.
So first, before we get started, may I ask what brought you to semiconductors?
So, my bachelor's as well was in physics, and then somehow I felt that I need to make things work. That was a joke, but I got drawn to electrical engineering, and then I did my master's as well as PhD in electrical engineering. And then I actually briefly was in industry, and I somehow found my way back into academia, and now I am a professor at Stanford in electrical engineering. It has been a wonderful journey. I have a dynamic group of my students who are pushing the boundaries of semiconductor, and we are excited about all the new applications where we can contribute to.
Yeah, I really admire the students today, because this is probably the most exciting the semiconductor industry has been during my, I've been in the industry for 40 years. When I started, very few people even knew what a semiconductor was, certainly my family and friends, but now it's front page news. So I think that the students today have a great advantage. First, let me ask you, what insights about scaling do we see from the papers to be presented this year at IEDM?
Well, to start with a little nugget of history, at the 1975 IEDM, Gordon Moore gave a talk on his predictions of transistor scaling in a dense integrated circuit, or IC, which would become the famous Moore's Law. In his IEDM talk, he extended his observation, which, by the way, was first published in 1965 in Electronics Magazine. He extended that vision into the next decade. And since then, Moore's Law has guided the scaling of MOSFETs used in a computer chip, enabling scaling up of performance. While shrinking of transistors will continue, but we feel that they might have hit a wall, so-called the miniaturization wall, the performance improvement will continue through a combination of device scaling, now complemented by design technology co-optimization, or what we call as DTCO, which synergizes expertise from technology as well as from design. So DTCO, in fact, now is considered to be running out of steam. So we are into STCO, or system technology co-optimization, which are being enabled by some pretty cool 3D integration technologies. So this year, in terms of scaling, we will see some very interesting work done by IBM and Samsung on vertical transport nanosheet technologies, also known as VTFETs, for CMOS scaling beyond lateral transport devices. They demonstrate for the first time VTFET CMOS logic transistors at sub 45 nanometer gate pitch on bulk silicon wafers. So in VTFETs, the transport path of the MOSFET is orthogonal to the wafer plane, which is contrary to what happens in a lateral transport FETs or LTFETs. So what this does is it decouples the VTFETs from some of the fundamental pitch scaling constraint. Okay, so that limits the lateral transport FET. So we believe that VTFETs can bring further scaling to advanced logic nodes. So that's what we will hear from them. I'll also highlight another work, which is very interesting. This is by IMEC and ASM, and they will draw our attention to what is called buried power rail metal exploration towards a 1 nanometer node. Okay, so buried power rail, or BPR, often is considered to be an example of what I was alluding before as design technology co-optimization, or DTCO. And this is one of the key CMOS area scaling enablers beyond the 3 nanometer node. So this work will report some of their recent studies with different metals for buried power rail as well as via to buried power rail towards the 1 nanometer node, minimizing the resistivity and effects such as electron migration. So these two are very interesting papers, which both are geared towards scaling, and we will listen more at the IEDM.
Oh, that's interesting. I should have known that Gordon would have spoken at IEDM. You know, Moore's Law is an amazing thing as a guideline, you know, certainly. And today it is a headline, right? It's always more than Moore, Moore's Law. There's even a website, Moore's Law is Dead. I talked to the creator and I had a very spirited conversation with him. I don't think it is. So why do you think there is such a great emphasis on 3D approaches this year? I noticed quite a few.
Right, that's a very interesting innovation that you know, the community is looking into. So performance, which we all crave for, I mean, performance require, and I'm talking about computing performance, which is often defined by energy times the execution delay or execution time. Performance requires ultra dense computing, and the vision is that the performance will require ultra-dense computing interleaved with ultra-dense memory, which will require ultra-dense interconnectivity. So the notion of memory-immersed computation, let's say if we are to expect a 1000x performance, this is not possible with just scaling in 2D. So the consensus is on building chips where memory and computations are stacked three-dimensionally. That's where the 3D comes from. The research is happening now, so that a widespread adoption can be realized in 7 to 10 years. So this is the reason for our emphasis in this IDM. So our IDM theme for this year is devices for a new era of electronics from 2D materials to 3D architectures. One of our short courses listed as future scaling and integration technology will delve into all kinds of 3D approaches and integration techniques. This year we have several invited talks as well as contributor talks highlighting the hardware technologies for computing with 3D approaches.
Oh, interesting. You know, I first heard about FinFETs at IEDM. I forget which year it was, many years ago, but you know, it happens all the time. So, you know, what role does IEDM play in developing and nurturing new technologies like this?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you were right on FinFETs. You know, IDM is the flagship conference for semiconductor device community. The importance of semiconductors, as you were mentioning, in our society cannot be overstated. Everything you touch or feel today probably has a semiconductor chip inside it. Perhaps the importance of semiconductor technology is now even more to serve the needs of AI and Internet of Everything. We have graduated from Internet of Things to Internet of Everything, from microgrids to electric vehicles, AR, VR, compute and storage of abundant data, 5G and 6G and beyond. So in an effort to bridge what we call the digital divide, IDM brings together an international group of engineers and scientists from industry, academia, government to discuss, for instance, CMOS transistor technology. But not just that, we discuss advanced memory, displays, sensors, MEMS devices, quantum and emerging nanoscale devices, optoelectronics, power, energy harvesting, and ultra high speed devices. As well, we focus on process technologies and device modeling and simulation. So, you know, historically, IDMs have witnessed many firsts. So, for example, in 1959, was the first year the meeting featured papers on integrated circuit, not surprising since the integrated circuit era began that year. 1962 brought a paper in IDM reporting the first practical MOSFET, the type of transistor which is used today. Fast forward to 2019, at IDM, TSMC unveiled their 5 nanometer node. So you see that IDM has been a conference that gave the gift of the first of many technologies. So introduction and nurturing of new technologies in IDM, well, that often happens through our focus sessions. For example, this year, we have one of our focus session, one of our focus sessions designed to discuss technologies for VR and intelligent sensors, and another one is dedicated to device technology for quantum computing. So yeah, that's how we try to design our focus session to develop or nurture new technologies and introduce the world to this.
Yeah, the flagship conference, I like that. That's definitely true. So you mentioned STCO. So that's a new term for me. So maybe you can explain the growing importance of STCO. Also, I did see a conference listing. So maybe explain to us what is behind the evening panel topic. Is hardware, software, co-design a necessary evil or a symbolic partnership?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Daniel. So with the design technology co-optimization, you know, I use this abbreviated term called DTCO, you know, where you are bringing the best of device and design together. Well, even that is considered to be plateauing out. So what we are looking forward to is called the system technology co-optimization, or STCO, and that's what is gaining momentum. So the idea is that scaling at logic cell level needs to be complemented by scaling at a system level. A great example will be a 3D chip supporting efficient architectures and application mapping. So STCO includes the system on chip to be disintegrated often and then reintegrated again to be available with 3D integration technologies. So these technologies can then be applied at different levels of the 3D interconnect hierarchy, from the package to the die, to the wafer, to the standard cell, or even to the very transistor level. So STCO framework is now brought to the logic world, you know, proving to be very useful to provide further knobs to continue the scaling path. The idea is that performance requires scaling, not necessarily in 2D, but in every possible way we can scale the chip to enhance performance, it's good. And STCO just helps us with that. So one example of STCO is backside power delivery, okay? Or take the example of the concept of illusion, where ultra dense and dense interconnectivity that allow on-chip or chip-to-chip communications to create an illusion of a far more powerful chip than what you can achieve today. This all can happen with ultra dense interconnectivity. This is another example of STCO. So 3D chips are a great way of practicing STCO, system technology co-optimization. So just to understand more about STCO, we have organized a focus session on STCO for memory-centric computing and 3D integration at this IDM. We also have an invited talk by IBM researchers on co-design in high-performance computing system. Now, you asked me about the idea behind the evening panel. The title is provocative. Is hardware, software co-design a necessary evil or a symbiotic partnership? Well, to answer that question, I would say, like, timing is everything, okay? This concept of hardware, software co-design was introduced in the 90s and didn't seem to succeed back then. But now we are revisiting this hardware software co-design concept and actually practicing them. We see that it is bringing unprecedented levels of performance, functionality, and design accuracy. So without this, think about it like this, that without the software that maps application to the hardware, whatever hardware we innovate could become quite useless very soon. So the complexities that we are looking into require very strong partnering between hardware and software engineers. So this is, again, a unique need that 3D architectures bring to the table.
Yeah, you know, when I came into the industry, I chose hardware because there were more jobs. I mean, it was probably 10 hardware jobs for every one software job. And I think it's probably the opposite, or maybe even more, you know, 100 software jobs for every hardware job. But hardware and software has to coexist, at the integrated circuit level. So that'll be an interesting one.
Right. I mean, it's really a symbiotic partnership. You're right. I mean, we kind of develop this thing in silos, but we kind of understand the need for this to wings, to be able to flap together so that
For
we
sure.
can realize the kind of complex systems that we are becoming so much dependent, to realize those.
Yeah, so let's talk about the semiconductor talent pipeline for a minute. You're a professor, you see it from the inside, I see it from the outside, but getting people in the semiconductor industry has always been a challenge. And I even went, or in my early days, I went on recruiting sessions for the company I worked for all the different universities, all over the United States, and it was very difficult to get the younger generation interested in semiconductors. I would think, semiconductors is a front page news now. Is it any easier? I mean, and what do conferences like IEDM, what role do they play in, maintaining, the talent pipeline?
Yeah, I mean, we are excited that semiconductors today are not obsolete. In fact, they are even more useful. So this is a great time to work on semiconductors. And IDM is literally a celebration of talents and technologies. The members of the organizing committee, program committee, they voluntarily dedicate their time to bring the best of semiconductor technologies and talents to the conference every year. So I'll use this opportunity to give a shout out to our General Chair Tibor Grosser and a Technical Program Chair Barbara DiSalvo, also to our Conference Manager Phyllis Mahoney and our Media Relations Co-Directors Chris Burke and Gary Degestein, who make every effort to make this a grand success. So there's a lot of thought that goes into this conference. We want to bring the most talented researchers into this platform, and the committee works tirelessly for the entire year to pick the topics that define a timely overarching theme. Outstanding researchers across the world from industry, academia, government, they're invited to deliver the invited and focus session talks, panel discussion, luncheon talks. So this is really a celebration, as I alluded to, of outstanding scientists and engineers and researchers. So as a very interesting example, I'll sample a few notable figures from the early days that includes who spoke at IDM, or they and those names include stalwarts like John Bardeen, Robert Dennard, James Early, Andrew Grove, J.B. Gunn, Jack Kilby, Gordon Moore, Jerry Sanders, Simon Z, on and on. So these are in addition to thousands of other individuals who have made important contribution to the field. So for the last couple of years, the committee is trying to add more diversity in our luncheon speakers, who not only can share their technical expertise, but also their personal experience of launching their careers. Their stories are an inspiration to students, to young researchers globally. So our career luncheon speakers represent the strength in diversity that all IEEE platform aspire to cultivate. We attract a very large group of young students to listen and ask questions to our speaker, and hope this experience can help them in building their own career, in their own careers, actually.
Yeah, I remember when the first conference I went to right out of college, Bill Gates and Andy Grove were keynoting, and Andy Grove said, "Hardware will never be the bottleneck." And Bill Gates changed his keynote and said, "Software will never be the bottleneck." And they were both right, but it was made such an impression on me, and I'm sure the rest of the students. It gave us some huge enthusiasm for. There's going to be challenges coming up, and we were definitely had the personality trait of looking for challenges. But so I think it's an amazing thing, these conferences, and I was very, very curious as to, and I was hoping it wouldn't happen, but during the pandemic when we didn't have these live conferences, how did that affect the talent pool? I mean, I think we really learned you know, for now, is how important the human connection is. You know, virtual mm-hmm. conferences are nice, but really there's nothing like, you know, the live conferences and seeing these, you know, industry leading people speak and share their passions about technology.
Right. Right. I mean, we probably now we are more aware than ever about the human machine interface, right? We have lived through that.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm glad the conferences are live. You know, I can't wait for IEDM. I certainly will be there. One final question, and this is a big topic in the industry as well as in the semiconductor circles, but you have a talk about metaverse, the technology needed for the metaverse, and you know this is Facebook driven, it's a plenary talk. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, it's such an interesting topic, but I feel like we've really only scratched the surface.
I can't agree with you more. We are very excited about this plenary talk. So the idea is that internet will eventually evolve into the metaverse, which will ultimately represent the next major computing platform. Well, if this concept can be realized, then it will be transformative to the society and industry, as was the mobile phone or personal computers. So for metaverse, we need an ecosystem of technologies ranging from ultra dense chips and sensors and displays that we all talked about, but now they have to work together to offer us the full experience of augmented and virtual reality. Sometimes these two are clubbed together and they call it extended reality, XR. So it also calls for true hardware software co-design, something that we were discussing a little while back. So in this plenary talk, Michael Abrash from Facebook Reality Labs, he will walk us through the list of technologies that we need to focus in the today or in the coming decade to actually have get the full experience of an extended reality. So yeah, we are very excited that we were able to have this plenary talk along with other plenary talks, and hopefully we will learn more from him what we should be focusing on.
Well, it certainly does answer a question I've had. Is a lot of the people I'm friends with and I've worked with over the years are at Facebook, and I just noticed, you know, we get notifications on LinkedIn, and a couple of my former coworkers now work at Airbnb. So it's interesting to see, you know, what these people are up to, and we probably won't know for a few years after that. And you know, same thing with Tesla. I had friends at Tesla, you know, 6-7 years ago, and now Tesla is making their own chips. So it's going to answer a lot of questions for me personally, but I think it's going to keep us busy for sure, because that is a huge challenge, and it's a very nice pivot for Facebook, connecting the hardware to the software for sure.
You bet. We are very excited.
This is a good place to stop. Thank you so much, Cervante, for your time. And I look forward to meeting you at IEDM. And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Semiconductor Insider podcast series. And have a good day.
Thank you so much, Daniel. I'm glad we had this opportunity to talk.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.